Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Ding dong! Oh, the takeaway's here. What's it going to be? It's the Off Menu podcast.
Very nice. Hello, Ed.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm feeling political.
Are you feeling political, are you, James Acaster?
I'm in a political vibe.
You're in a political vibe.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, we've got a political guest coming in to suit your mood.
A political guest is going to tell us what their favourite ever starter main course dessert side dish and drink, huh?
Absolutely. And our political guest today is MP...
Jess Phillips, MP.
I can't believe we've got an actual MP to come on the podcast.
We're some sneaky little boys.
What a sucker.
I mean, there's no... Is there room for politics and food?
I think and so.
I mean, that's the question. You should never discuss politics or religion over dinner. That's what people say.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah, that's a saying, right?
There may be no room for politics in food, but politicians got to eat.
Politicians got to eat? Politician's got to cry.
She might be crying if she says the secret ingredient and has to be removed from the restaurant.
Absolutely, actually, Ed. And guess what the secret ingredient is this week?
Is it whole coffee beans?
It's whole coffee beans. Oh, so help me God.
I can't believe that people do that.
Why is it even a thing?
You know, like, sometimes they cover them in chocolate. So you're like, yeah. I'll pop this little chocolate fun thing in my mouth. And then you're like, oh, it's the crunchiest thing in the world.
Awful. I don't eat them. I gave up caffeine in 2013.
Don't tell this goddamn anecdote again.
Okay.
We're going to listen to the off-menu of Jess Phillips. And so help me God, if you tell that anecdote about you having Diet Coke and it tasted like normal Coke ever again, I quit this podcast forever.
It tastes like normal Coke now, though. It's amazing.
This is the off-menu of Jess Phillips. Jess, welcome to the Dream Restaurant.
Thanks for having me. It's
happening here?
Jess Phillips.
Hello. It's not the best restaurant I've ever been in, I don't think.
Ah, that depends what you thought that sound was. What did you think was happening with that sound?
Car crash.
It was not a car crash. This podcast is often a car crash, but that noise was the noise of the genie waiter arriving at the Dream Restaurant.
It's a genie coming out of a lamp, Jess. You weren't looking at the time, so you didn't know. You were looking at Ed. But that's what happened.
You missed all the effects. We've got a huge budget, and we put quite a lot of smoke budget in.
Yes.
You've missed all of it now.
I missed it all.
It's all dissipated.
I mean, I'm both disappointed that I missed it and that I thought that a genie coming out of a lamp would be more sort of notable.
Everyone's pretty notable. Everyone else is talking about it. Yeah, it was pretty cool when I came out of that.
So James is a genie waiter, which means he can get you whatever food.
Whatever food you like. So, you know, maybe you want to change your tune on how good the restaurant is.
You're going to flob in my food.
I won't flob in your food, I swear.
Unless that's what you want.
If that's what you want.
Okay. If that's your dream meal.
Okay.
If you just want a big old plate of flob, then I can get you that.
Well, I've never had that, so I can't say whether that's nice or not. So.
Yeah, you don't know. It depends who's flop. If you had to eat anyone's, if it was like a bowl of flop and that's all you got, whose flop would you want it to be? It's one person and it's just got to be a bowl full of, it's like a cereal bowl full of their flop and it's one person. Who is it? Anyone in the world, living or dead.
Okay, well, I mean,
but when they were alive.
I've eaten a lot of my children's flob over the years because you eat the food right out of their mouth.
Sure.
Like, all the time.
Like a bird.
Like a bird.
Yeah.
And well,
not your children then.
Yeah, but so I go for my children.
Nah, let's rule the children out.
I can't eat my children's flob, is that what you're saying?
No, not in this scenario.
James, this is the most Paxman you've ever been.
Okay.
But I really want it to be.
Oh, you want it to be like a world leader or something, like Angela Merkel.
Oh, yeah.
I just really want to try her.
That's cool. Anyone in government?
No,
someone in government.
Not.
That's the rules. It has to be someone in government. It has to be someone who is currently an MP.
In the current government.
Current government, and you got to eat a bowl of their flop.
Let me think. Oh, there's just so many people I wouldn't want to even come anywhere near me. So. Yeah.
It's the best question I've ever asked.
It's pretty good.
This is a great question.
The person in government. I'm going to go for somebody who I feel is got a very dry mouth. Because
it'd take them ages
and I could probably get out of it. So Theresa May, she looks dry mouthed quite a lot,
sure,
doesn't she?
Point. Yeah, that's the point.
She does look dry mouthed.
Maybe but she's been moistening that mouth with her fucking tears lately.
James, so political.
See? Benito, you've been holding this back. I've been hiding this light under a bushel.
We can talk about legislation at length if you'd like.
Oh, I don't understand that. I only really understand flob.
Yeah. James knows flob and food. That's what this podcast is about.
That's it.
So would you consider yourself a foodie?
Very much, yeah.
Yes.
Totally a foodie.
Good.
That's why it's really hard.
A lot of people balk at that term. A lot of people are not on board with calling themselves a foodie, but I'm glad you are.
It's the only thing I actually do other than go to work is like, eat food.
Yeah.
I don't know how people socialise unless they're like eating food together.
I completely agree. It's all I think about all day.
Me too.
As I'm eating breakfast, I'm thinking about lunch.
All the time.
Yeah. Love
every single second. I constantly think about what I'm going to eat.
Even during PMQs and stuff?
Definitely during PMQs. In fact, that's just before lunchtime.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah, of course.
It's...
That explains it. Everyone's thinking about food in there. That's why they're so angry.
Yeah,
do you know that noise where you think it's all when all the Tories are like, that's actually their stomachs rumbling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like that cow noise. It's so weird. I don't know how you learn it. It's like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, as someone who went to a posh public school, you learn that first day.
Oh, do you?
You learn the cow noise.
Do you know it?
No, I didn't go to posh public school.
Oh,
but thank you.
Me neither. Me neither. I don't know what it is. I've tried to learn it over the years, tried to tune in, but I just can't get it.
They are saying stuff, but you need to rewind it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
sometimes people
backwards.
Are so posh they are genuinely inaudible to me.
Yeah.
Am I doing all right?
You know, you're...
I'm fine, okay,
can
good.
Can I just say, the standards of what I'm used to...
Yeah,
basically a commoner.
I've had to tune it down because I'm in the world of comedy. If I'd entered politics, I'd be absolutely awful.
Oh, I can only imagine what Ed would be like if he was a politician. We'd all be in big trouble.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like it. Flob for everyone. That's what would be happening.
To be fair, I feel it was you that was most into the flob.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were really pushing the flob agenda, James.
What?
The flob agenda.
I think if we rewind that's not true.
Well, Jess, of course, you've come to the Dream Restaurant, not just for your dream meal, but to tell us about your new book as well.
Yes, I have.
You have indeed.
What, you got a book out or something?
Truth to Power.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
It is indeed.
And it's got a rude subtitle as well.
Well, not that rude, really. It could have been much worse, considering where I work. Yeah. Could have been really like, I'm not going to say it, but it could have been really like, let's fuck this shit up. because, you know, I think the whole world is a bit mad at the moment and depressed and doesn't know what to do. People constantly come up to me and say things like, I just want to do something to make the world better, but I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So hopefully, in the book, I'm telling them what they could possibly do to stop all the bullshit that is going on at the moment.
What could they do to stop all the bullshit that would involve food?
Glad you said food
there.
I really thought you were going to say flob.
Look, I'm not going to lie. It was 50-50 toss-up in my head.
You hadn't even decided by F.
No, I was like, here we go. Let's see what the lips do. I said food.
I mean, it's comedy, isn't it? So, you know, I could sit here and talk for ages about, like, food poverty and food banks and all of that.
Leave the comedy to us. We'll take that and we'll make it funny.
Well, there's all sorts of things that you can do about food to try and make the world a better place, because there's loads of people who aren't fed, for example.
Yeah, make sure everyone gets some food.
Yeah,
probably.
36% of children in my constituency live in poverty.
Yeah.
So there's a huge amount that people can be doing to organise to make sure that things are more fairly distributed.
For sure.
We'll put a joke in post. Still a sparkling water, Jess?
Sparkling every single time.
Every single time. Why?
It's just better, isn't it? It tastes that sort of like weird metallic tinny that you can't quite put your finger on.
And you like that?
I like that.
You like a metallic tinny taste?
Yeah, I like a metallic tinny taste. I really like the taste of blood, for example. That's like metallic
tinny.
Do you? Now, I eat a lot
of blood. We've got a vampire in the restaurant.
I eat a lot of blood, Jess, because I'm type 1 diabetic, so I have to prick my finger to test my blood quite a lot.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't realise that you had to drink blood if you were a type 1 diabetic.
I have to drink the blood of non-diabetics to just sort of maintain
fair,
it.
Fair.
I don't have a tissue or anything to wipe my finger on, so straight in the mouth.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with you on the blood, but
I've
never
thought... Do you like the taste of it?
I don't mind it. You get used to it.
I
don't dislike
it. Just likes it,
though. I like it.
You actively like the taste of blood.
She likes it. What do you like about it?
I just like the metallic-y taste of it.
Because it tastes like sparkling water, that's what you like about it.
Well, actually, to be fair, they don't taste anything alike, but they both have a metallic quality that I enjoy.
No, I definitely didn't think we were going to end up on blood from the water chat.
If you had to eat a bowl of blood from anyone in the government...
If it was made into black pudding, I'd go for literally any of them. I'm sure you could spice it up nicely.
That's a good point. How comparable a pig and human blood? Could you make human black pudding?
I mean, lots of the sort of... when we pioneered... The stuff about heart transplants and stuff was based on pigs and the pig anatomy and the human anatomy. So one can only assume that the black pudding of humans would taste not dissimilar to the black pudding of pigs.
Do you remember Pig Heart Boy?
I beg your pardon?
I have a vague recollection of this.
TV show of a boy who had a pig's heart.
No. Was it a documentary on
Channel 5? No, it was like a drama, like a kid's drama on like...
Really?
CBBC. I have a vague recollection of it.
Yeah, yeah. CITV or CBBC, I can't remember now. I just remember he had a pig's heart. And he didn't really agree with him.
I think there's science to suggest that actually, like, a pig's heart in a human isn't necessarily a cracking idea.
No. Yeah. Aren't they bigger as well, pig's hearts?
I don't know about
how
that.
Big is a pig's
my
heart?
Heart's really big.
Yeah, yeah.
A big old heart.
Is it as big as a pig's heart, though?
I don't think that pigs have much bigger hearts than... I literally have no idea about pig's heart.
I think I'm thinking of a cow heart.
Cows are much bigger, though, aren't they?
That's
true. Bigger creatures.
Size-wise, that would fit, yeah.
Pigs
are
not much bigger than humans, like, upright.
Yeah.
But then is that how it works with the heart? Does the heart grow with the... Because some animals are real big, have a tiny little brain.
Yes, but a heart is a pump to pump the blood around your body. So chances are a big body, big heart.
Yeah, you got to. You couldn't have a big... If a blue whale had a human-sized heart, then it would die. Is that correct?
I don't know why you looked at me like I'm Brian Cox or something.
David Attenborough was in Parliament yesterday. If only we'd brought him here along with us, he could have definitely answered these questions.
He's doing the rounds, Attenborough. Glastonbury and Parliament.
Indeed.
Do you reckon he could walk in anywhere?
Literally anywhere. I think. So I don't know whether my dad just said this because he really loves David Attenborough and likes to make up facts about people that he likes. But he said that he was the most trusted man, like... survey and like anybody would trust anything that was said to them.
Yeah.
So we should get him peddling fake news or something to see.
I bet Amber could just like walk into a JD Sports and go in the back.
Definitely he could walk into a JD Sports and go in the back.
Yeah.
I think there'd be a certain amount of confusion that would sort of reign for a while.
He could be out
the back door with bags full of stuff.
Sure.
Was that David Attenborough just walked into the
store? He definitely could. He could walk in anywhere. I mean, there's not an example you can... give me where I don't think that he could get in. I think top state secrets, GCHQ, he could walk in there tomorrow and just start listening into people's conversations.
He could commentate on them whilst he was listening to them and people still wouldn't mind.
Yeah. How much... Who's peddling the fake news at the minute, if it's not Attenborough? Who would get fired if Attenborough came in?
There's loads of people doing fake news. Stick your finger in the air. There's bloody loads. I mean, just look at Facebook for an afternoon. Ugh. Fake news aplenty.
Awful, isn't it, Facebook? I'm not on it anymore, Jess. I'm pretty cool.
Are you? Are you not?
Do you think I'm cool now?
Cool people,
I do think you're cool. I mainly think my husband is like the coolest man I know because he's never been on Facebook.
Wow.
He's never been on Facebook?
Literally never even looked on Facebook.
Wow. What?
Is he 100 years old?
No.
Are you married to a 100-year-old man?
No, he's 40.
Oh, good on him.
Yeah, he's never been on Facebook, not on Twitter. Oh, he was on Twitter for one afternoon and then he felt like he was having a nervous breakdown, so he came off.
It's a shame that he went on Twitter for that afternoon, so he can't now say that I've never been on Twitter.
I know.
He loves Bebo, though, right? He's always on Bebo.
Yeah, MySpace was massive.
Still rocked on that.
Poppadoms or bread, Jess? Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadoms every time.
Ah. Every time. So far, both your options have been every time.
Yeah, I'm quite... Yeah. You know, you have to be quite certain about your decisions when you're a politician.
No, right, sure, you can't.
No need for fannying around, worrying about the in-between.
And in a few months when something comes out about poppadoms, you'll say, I said bread at the time.
Yeah.
I'll distance myself from poppadoms.
Yeah.
I'll try to be honest and say we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
But actually, of course, bread is always the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Bread every time.
Yeah. Well, I've done that ridiculous thing where you don't eat carbs a lot. I recognise that poppadoms are carbs, but they seem less like an infringement of the not eating carbs.
They're less carby.
They're less carby.
They're light. They feel a lighter thing. Depending on what you put on them, of course. Are you having them with chutney?
Always. Chutney, lime pickle, mango pickle.
All together or one at a time?
All together.
Yeah.
If you can possibly manage it, but it slides away, doesn't it?
It
slips away from you with the mint yoghurt.
But you can put mint yoghurt on there as well?
Mint yoghurt, yeah.
Yeah,
you can't have poppadoms without mint yoghurt.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that is an abomination.
It would be an abomination.
It's an abomination. I'm from Birmingham. We eat a lot of...
Yeah.
Poppadoms and chutney.
Well, that's say I'm going to Birmingham.
Yeah.
What's the best Indian restaurant in Birmingham?
It depends if you mean actually an Indian restaurant or like a curry house.
A curry house?
Okay. There's a distinct difference as most of the curry houses are not run by Indian people. There is an amazing Indian restaurant in Birmingham, which is a vegetarian restaurant called the Jyoti.
Uh-huh.
And it had like a real massive obsession with Jamie Oliver for a while because he once went there when he was at like the food show at the NEC.
Yeah.
And so it was like the walls were plastered with pictures of Jamie Oliver and the man who owns it.
Amazing.
I mean, it was like Jamie Oliverville for a long time. But it does absolutely amazing vegetarian, in fact, vegan mainly, Indian food, proper Indian food, thalis and... doses and things, but curry house.
Mm.
I would say the Spice Merchant or the Sillet Spice, both near where I live, are brilliant Kashmiri and Bangladeshi curry houses. Again, some quite good obsessions with the people who have been in there.
Yeah.
So Shilpa Shetty's on the wall in one, and I believe. My friend went for a curry last night, in fact, and was told that Jasper Carrot's going in tomorrow.
Have you made the wall yet?
I have not made the wall.
Surely.
Although Abid, who runs it, who literally looks like he's a Bollywood sensation, he's like really like hot man. But he's like debonair and old, like he'd be the good-looking old father in a Bollywood movie.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I love Abid. Mm-hmm. But I've known him since I was a child, and now he can't believe that, you know, I am a person who people know. But I've yet to make it onto the wall.
It can't Shilpa be that Shetty. Far off, surely. Yeah,
I feel like I'm more relevant than Shilpa Shetty.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. Have a photo. Maybe you've got to take the photo in yourself. Like.
Yeah, maybe.
Just leave that there.
But in Sillet Spice, one time Neve Campbell from Scream went in there.
Wow.
So
she's on the wall, surely.
But they didn't have like the foresight to like take a really good photo. So
there
was just like a sort of like she was on the wall. I think they've had a redo now and maybe Neve's not up there.
That's a shame. That's a crime.
But Sillet Spice and the Spice Merchant are the restaurants, the curry houses for a proper like, you know, lamb madras or
lamb madras, nice.
You know, your classic
British expected curry. Yes. Mm. That I would go to those two.
And just quickly, is Birmingham the best curry in Britain?
Yep. I mean, Bradford and Leicester will say differently, I'll wager. But yeah. I tell you where is shit for a curry, and that is London. Yeah. Absolutely shit. Shit for a curry. Shit for all food that in the curry market. You can't go to the corner shop and just buy, like, you know, Nigella seeds to make a curry. You can't get, you know, you pay, you people are paying a ridiculous amount of money for coriander. I don't know if you know this.
No.
Like, you don't have to pay that much money, and ginger and stuff.
Yeah.
It is shit round here for that.
How much would you pay for some coriander?
I would pay, I mean, 10 pence for a big bunch of coriander. The Indian shop right next to where me and my husband first lived when we were first together, he would go in every day, he was making a curry, to just buy a chilli, and he'd just buy one chilli, and it wouldn't register on the scale. So every day, the woman in the shop was like, you and your free chillies. That would give him a free chilli. I mean, things are cheap in on the Ladypool Road in Birmingham. Get yourself down there.
Yeah, no, I hadn't really thought about it before, but there are, like, there's Indian restaurants that I like to go to in London, but they're quite, like...
We go to posh old Indian restaurants as well, though.
But in terms of actual proper good, just, like, curry houses, can't really think of many. No, like, you do get it more out.
My mate Alex, she lives here now, and she was coming back last week, and there's, like, a new sort of trendy hipster pizza place that's opened near us, which is really good, and we were all like, oh, let's go there for a dinner. And she said, look, in London, you know, I can swing a cat and hit 20 hipster pizza places, but I can't get a curry. Can we please go for a curry?
Yeah.
So that, I think, proves London is shit for curry.
Nothing around Westminster. Is the Cinnamon Club still in Westminster?
Yes, it is. That's very posh of you to know that. Yeah,
very posh.
I have no idea what he's on about.
And they ring the bell in the Cinnamon Club, and then all the MPs get up and leave.
Yeah, the division bells. Yeah, it's within 8 minutes' walk of the division bell.
It's quite exciting.
What are you talking about?
The division bell means everyone's got to go back to work.
To vote.
Division.
To vote, yeah.
Division. We divide the house.
Oh, not...
So it's voting. Not just a fancy word for voting. You've got to go and vote.
I thought it's more that, you know... All posh people leave and divide themselves from the commoners.
Sometimes feels a bit like that when we divide, to be fair. Yes, the Cinnamon Club is still a thing.
That's very nice, though, it's not like a curry
house.
That's
not a curry house, is it? You can't go in and get a korma for the kids and you can have a vindaloo. It's not like that.
You have to go and get like a tandoori pigeon breast or something.
I literally think I have eaten a tandoori pigeon breast.
That is on the menu, yeah.
With like puffed rice.
Yeah, puffed rice. Yeah. Just keep it light. Puffed rice.
Yeah, that does, it's still a thing, very much.
When she was a teenager, my sister went to Camp America to work there, and she came back and told us about the flavours of Ben and Jerry's she'd had, because that's what Acasters talk about together when they've been away. And she said she'd had a flavour called Cinnamon Bundo that was delicious, and my dad said Cinnamon Bundo sounded like my name, like I would be called Cinnamon Bundo. And then for about a year, that's what my brother and sister called me.
It sounded like your name?
Yeah, like my first name was Cinnamon, and my second name was Bundo, spelled like B-U-N-D-O. And that my name was Cinnamon Bundo.
A conversation with James is very much like pinball in that it will just rocket off in another direction based on one word. Yeah, I know.
My brothers used to say things like that. They'd be like, oh, you never guess what, we've got the corner shop by our shop, you know. And essentially I have now come to the conclusion that they were entirely lies. Have you actually verified Cinnamon Bundo?
I think there is definitely a cinnamon... Like cinnamon buns.
There's definitely cinnamon. You can get that here now.
But I don't think it's called Cinnamon Bun. I think it's like called Cinnamon Buns or something like that.
Yeah.
But like, I think what she remembered about it was that. And my dad straight in there with the burn.
And everyone called you Cinnamon Bundo.
Everyone was like, hey, Cinnamon, how's it going? Hey, Bundo.
You know, that's the worst thing to tell me, because I will now call you Cinnamon Bundo for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you probably will do that. Yeah. What am I in your phone at the minute?
Fennel McMeatball.
Yeah.
Fennel McMeatball.
Yeah. For various reasons, mainly because he hates fennel.
Hate it.
So I started calling him fennel.
How could you hate fennel?
Yeah,
because it tastes like hell.
Wait, now, do you hate fennel? No, some clarity. Do you hate fresh fennel or do you hate dried fennel seeds?
Let's list everything that fennel could possibly be, and I hate all of that, Jess.
Okay, you hate fennel seeds.
I bet you've eaten fennel seeds without knowing it.
Yeah, no. They're in almost all curries, mate. Yeah.
I've had it knowing it, and it's disgusting. I hate it.
It's like the base of lots and lots of curry.
Well, they disguise it in that. I don't taste any... I've had fennel seeds on other stuff and been like, that's disgusting.
To be fair, I hate sweet corn. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But in a samosa, I can tolerate it.
Well, fair
so
enough.
So maybe you can tolerate fennel.
Yeah, maybe there's samosas. Yeah, but I hate fennel.
That's why I call him fennel.
Fennel is actually a name, though. Cinnamon. Well, there probably is somebody called cinnamon.
It might be someone called cinnamon. Yeah, I mean, it's a matter
the
of time.
The cinnamon, Paul Sinner from The Chase.
Yeah, the cinnamon. Yeah. There you go.
The cinnamon, in a way.
Of
that's
course, yeah. Of course.
He is the cinnamon.
How could we forget him from The Chase? Why do people on The Chase sometimes go for negative numbers? Like, why does anybody do that on The Chase? It really riles me.
Here's something about me. I think I've seen at least 10 episodes of The Chase. Mm. I don't think I understand it still.
I know, it is. That's why I can't get over why anyone would choose to go away with less. Just have a go.
Mm.
I don't understand. Maybe we're not getting something.
I don't understand a lot of it, though.
I've seen the clips where Bradley laughs at like the word fanny and stuff. Should get onto your starter.
Yeah,
really,
sorry.
Jess.
Yeah.
Now this is where I guess it gets difficult for
it
you.
It is really hard.
Yeah. Was there a lot of contenders for starter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot, because starters are the best, aren't they? Really, well, I'd like to have a meal of all starters.
Completely agree with you.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Completely agree with you.
That's called tapas, Jess, isn't it? So, go ahead and do that. But, like, dessert's the best course.
No, dessert's the worst course.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
But, okay. So, as a starter, I'm going to pick that I would want, like, crab. Crab, some sort of like fancy crab starter that you get in a restaurant, like maybe with avocado as well.
A fancy crab starter. Now, there is a restaurant in London called Fancy Crab.
Is there?
There is. I've been there. I'd be surprised to hear. A lot of crab on the menu.
Uh-huh.
But then they sort of panicked about a month after they opened and took a lot of the crab off the menu and put some other stuff on. So it's just sort of a regular menu now.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. There's still crab on there, but it was very crab focused initially. And I took my girlfriend. She loves crab so much.
Oh, I love crab.
She's a big
well.
Fan of crab.
And it's the chicken of the sea.
The chicken of the sea, of course. We've had this debate before.
Have we?
About what the chicken of the sea is. Some people call tuna the chicken of the sea.
Oh, yeah.
That's
that
not
was
true.
It.
I think.
No,
also,
chicken's the beef of the sea.
Chicken's the beef of the sea.
No, sorry. No.
Tuna is the beef of the sea.
Tuna's the beef of the sea, is what I meant to say.
Because it's like a steak.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's okay. Closer to what it is. I'm happy to call crab the chicken of the sea.
Chicken. Or yeah. Would you ever call chicken crab of the land?
Yeah.
It's my favourite Prodigy album.
Imagine a chicken walking sideways. That'd be funny.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Yeah.
Undeniably.
Snapping its little hands.
Yes, those little feathers around.
Yeah.
That would be funny, you're right.
Yeah. How are we cooking the crab, Jess?
Well, I've just, like, you know, you get that. I've never made this. My friend Amy once made it for me because she's quite 70s and always makes like 70s dinner. Like you get like a little like tower of crab nicely dressed with avocado.
So it's been like it's been steamed or something.
Yeah, I don't know. And the reason that the reason I pick anything in a restaurant is I would never pick anything in a restaurant that I would ever make at home.
Right.
Ever.
That's
like chicken in a restaurant is like an insult. Anyone who eats chicken in a restaurant has got no imagination.
What about fried chicken?
That is a different category. Yeah.
What do you get in Nando's?
I get chicken livers in Nando's because I would never cook chicken liver at home.
They're good. The chicken livers in Nando's are good, but I've not had them in ages. They're good.
That's all I ever have in a Nando's.
Chicken livers? I didn't even know that was on the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's really nice. Comes with a little roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mop up all the juices.
Yeah, because I would never cook that at home. Now, fried chicken, I do prefer fried chicken made at home, but I would eat fried chicken in a restaurant.
Yeah.
But I would never cook a crab at home because that is a lot of faff in it.
There's a lot of faff.
And I don't want to be faffing.
You don't want to be getting a live crab either, right?
Well, I mean, no, not
really.
Would
you do that at home?
Get a live crab?
Get a live crab at home?
No, I wouldn't get a live crab at home. I have, like, been on the beach, like, as a child and caught crabs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not for a long time.
Then you pop them back, right?
I think so. I mean, it's hard for me to remember. I don't
think
we ate
them. Well, I hope they're not still in
your bag. Imagine that. You've got loads of friends.
Here is a crab from 1987.
Still with you. You've taught it to talk by now, I'd imagine.
Yes,
so in a little like tower with some
avocado. Like with avocado and stuff. I just really like that. And whenever I'm in a restaurant and there is crab on a starter menu, I will always pick whether it's crab cakes or like crabbing it out with avocado. I will always pick something that has crab in it. Always, apart from a crab risotto, I draw the line there because I feel that the risotto overpowers the crab.
So yeah, I think you want quite a light starter, then I guess.
Yeah.
Quite a sort of light, fresh starter.
Yeah, why
you don't want
not?
Anything.
I think like they're my favourite salads are ones that have loads of crab in it.
Yeah.
That's really nice. That's probably only in the last year I've really got into that.
To that, yeah.
Because like for a while with salads, I was like, I like the like chicken and bacon salads, and the ones that are basically just cheats and they're not really salads, are they?
No.
But now I like it when there's like loads of crab in there.
I only looked at our producer, the great Benito, there, because that's the exact sort of story that he will, after the recording, say, James, that was really boring. We're going to have to cut that out.
No, I really enjoyed that story because I totally agree that, like, eating a salad with just loads of deep fried bacon in, I have done that recently just to make myself feel like I was eating a salad. Yeah. It's not okay.
It's a lie.
It's a lie.
Oh, I'm just having a salad. It's not. You're having loads of bacon and loads of chicken covered in cheese
on
top of a salad and mayonnaise. Yeah.
My mum used to do a salad that was like had fried bacon, pine nuts, roquefort, grapes, and then just some leaves scattered around.
To be honest, that sounds like, delicious.
It's amazing. It's like the middle of a delicious sandwich, but it's not. Don't call it a salad.
No.
Not at all.
Probably shouldn't think about that
now. That is nice. I mean, I think that we play fast and loose with the term salad quite a lot, really.
Yeah.
Because, like, anything seems to be called like a Russian salad is just mayonnaise and sausages, as best I can tell. Maybe some apple and walnuts in. It's unidentifiable what is in it. It's delicious, but it's unidentifiable. But it does just seem like sausages, frankfurters, mayonnaise. I'm not sure we can call that a salad.
I did look, was it like a chop salad or a cob salad in America before? And it came on a huge plate. It's just like a line of massive line of boiled egg, bacon, blue cheese, and maybe like just some chopped tomato, and then a very thin bed of lettuce, and then drizzled in like mayonnaise, basically.
Yeah, that is not a salad.
It's like not at all. If the amount that was in there, if they put that in a sandwich, I'd be like, this is three sandwiches worth of stuff. I ate it all.
If it tastes nice, it's not a salad. That's the rule. As soon as I have a bite of it, if that tastes good, I'm like, oh, what's the point of this? I'm actually supposed to have this to be good.
Okay, well, I'll put that rule down onto the legislative framework.
Yeah, sure. Let them know.
That passes into law for
Let
you.
Let them know.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Come to your main course.
Yeah.
So that's a nice light starter.
Yeah.
The crab and the avocado there.
Yeah, because you're leaving room for something.
Sounds like you're leaving room for something.
I mean, I wasn't, but potentially, yeah. So as a main, I would have... I did want to pick like another fish thing, and I thought, I can't have two fish. I would never have two fish in a restaurant. I would never make such a mistake. No.
You never double fish.
I do eat quite a lot of fish in the restaurant because the rule is don't eat what you cook at home and I never cook fish at home.
Yeah.
But I did want like another fish thing that my husband actually cooks at home because actually, in reality, I don't cook at home at all. Full stop.
So that's quite a nice rule to have in restaurants, actually, isn't it?
Eat whatever you want at a restaurant.
Anything you make at home.
I could eat literally just toast in a restaurant because I don't even make that.
I've always in cinemas, it's like, don't watch any films that you would make yourself at home. That's what I always say.
I was really torn because my absolute favourite treat thing to dinner to eat, once I'd given up on fish because I wanted to have crab as a starter.
I
really love it when you have a fried breakfast for dinner. It like feels like the greatest treat in the world to have a fried breakfast.
Actually done it for dinner?
Yeah, we do it all the time. We're like, we call it breakfast for dinner and the kids get like really excited and we're like, we're just going to have bacon and eggs and sausages. We're just going to have a full English for dinner. And it feels...
Ah, that's called a Birmingham salad.
Brummy salad.
Just with fennel and coriander on the top.
So, I've never met anyone who does this before.
You've never met a person who has breakfast for dinner?
Breakfast for dinner. As a fry-up for dinner.
I don't think my mouth could cope with it. I think I'd start eating it and my brain would be like, it's breakfast.
The cognitive dissonance you get like when you have something that isn't fizzy out of a can.
Yes.
Like that water thing, the water being in cans.
Yeah.
It's like so horrendous, like feels wrong.
It feels weird.
I know it's saving the planet and stuff, but sometimes I think, you know, I don't like polar bears that much.
It's a good job I didn't bring David Attenborough with me.
Yeah, I'll tell Attenborough about it. What, you want me drinking flat drinks out of a can, Attenborough? Is that what you want? Also, Ed, I think you were with me on the fry up. I think you've never even thought about that.
Are
you
acting
because Jess's political persuasion?
No, I like the idea of it though.
She managed to convince you that it's a normal thing, and you're like, yeah. But everyone's sitting here.
What I wasn't.
Everyone's sitting there acting like that was a normal thing that Jess just said.
James, bravo to you because you're speaking truth to power. You're calling Jess on her BS.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am calling you.
I can't
BS.
Believe people don't.
And by BS,
have...
I mean breakfast supper.
I can't believe you never have breakfast for dinner.
Right,
you'll have a bowl of cereal at night.
I do like a bowl of cereal. You do? Night. Yes, I do.
I'm calling truth to power on you.
No, I wouldn't have it. Don't call truth to power on me. Listen,
you wouldn't have it for your tea. You wouldn't have cereal.
No,
for tea.
I wouldn't be like this is my main dinner. No. I'd maybe have it like a little snack before bed.
Yeah.
But I've never met anyone before who has breakfast. Fried breakfast for dinner in the evening. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm saying it's inspired. It sounds amazing. But you are pretending like it's something that everyone does.
Can I know others who do it. I've met them.
Name them. Full names.
Amy Terry, Nee Furman. My friend who lives on the next street, I sometimes go to hers for breakfast for dinner.
But
she does everything 70s, though. So, you know,
it's a
limited repertoire where a fry-up fits in well. That and chicken Kiev.
Name someone that does breakfast for dinner who doesn't do it because you have directly influenced them.
Well, I don't know because I only know the people I've directly influenced.
Okay, so that's everyone in your life you're in control of.
I mean, I can't believe you've never had... Like, egg and chips, people have that, but egg and chips is literally the greatest meal. If I had a death row meal, actually, I would have egg and chips.
Is that what your main is?
Well
I thought we were doing fried breakfast.
We're going for breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
So, but fried... Egg and chips is essentially just breakfast for dinner, like a fry-up for dinner.
Chips is not.
No.
Chips is
not. I mean,
breakfast,
this is a debate
though,
that me and my husband have been having since for the 14 years that we have been together, because he always has chips on a fried breakfast.
Mad.
What?
Only in the cafe.
Who is
not
this guy?
Not at home, but in the cafe.
No wonder he's not on social media. His Instagram would be fucking nuts. It's a load of... Don't know what time of day it is with this guy every time he tweets his pictures of his food.
He has breakfast for dinner, but he has chips with his breakfast.
Yeah.
He has two sausage, two eggs, and chips, two bread and butter, and a mug of tea. That's what he has in the caf.
Wow.
What?
And he goes to the caf a lot. Like,
also,
very, in the caf
very,
daily.
Very sweet how quickly you rattled that off as well. That was quite romantic. Nice. I liked that.
Yeah.
Completely know it off by heart. It's nice.
So I think we need to hear what's on your fry-up, because this we've not actually tackled this
I'm
before.
I'm very excited that it's a fry-up. I'm very glad we've got a fry-up on the on the
Yeah, because we've not tackled the... Because that's a conversation. We could do a whole new podcast on what should be on a fried breakfast.
You put this out, I swear to God you're going to get loads of people saying, we have breakfast for dinner as a treat.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah, sure. Now, all their surnames will be Phillips. All look like you.
Take us through what's on it.
Okay, so I am very, very strict that you cannot have beans on a fried breakfast.
Yes! Yes!
What the fuck is happening right now?
Yes!
I've woken up in another universe. And
beans!
Parallel.
Are the cancer of a fried breakfast.
I am moving to Birmingham and I'm voting for you.
What are we talking about? Literally everything.
Yes.
The only sauce necessary on a fried breakfast is that comes from the yolk of an egg.
Right. What about if you put them in a little ramekin, the beans?
I will accept that other people can do that. I don't wish to create an even more divided society. I won't feel any judgment towards you. I just would never do that. Beans only should exist on toast. Very, very hot. Made very, very hot. I can't bear a lukewarm bean.
No, sure.
I don't like beans full stop.
I wouldn't ever pick to eat them, but sometimes my husband makes like really buttery beans.
For dessert?
With a bit of chilli sauce in and toast, and it just tastes like the comfort of childhood.
Mm,
But as a rule, I wouldn't have beans. So no beans.
Okay, no beans.
You'd have at least... two sausage, two bacon,
good.
Two fried egg. Mm. I mean, we wouldn't necessarily all have all of this when we were having breakfast for dinner because often breakfast for dinner is born out of necessity of what is in the fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what you can buy from the corner shop. Yep. And you can buy breakfast materials from the corner shop.
And free chilies.
And free chips. Well, we've moved from there. That really great corner shop's gone now. We've got a bit posher.
Yeah.
And they've got, as you get posher, corner shops get shitter.
Right.
That is a fact.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely true. So two sausage, two egg, two bacon, maybe three bacon, depending if it's streaky three.
Yeah, definitely.
Three.
Yeah. You just want a nest of bacon, really.
I would have black pudding. I personally don't mind a fresh tomato, but I prefer a tinned.
Mm.
But...
that's what can get off my breakfast.
Yeah, personally. I'm not having that either.
You're not having a tin tomato?
I would hoof that across the room like a hockey puck. I do not want a tomato.
Have you ever seen a tomato that actually looked like a tomato that comes out of a tin? They seem like
something happens to them in the
alien,
tin.
Alien, yeah.
It's like they've been incarcerated and they've changed.
Yeah. But their flavour's changed as well. Everything about them has changed. Yeah. Anyway, so I'd have that. And I would have either... I'd have some sort of potato product, so maybe fried potato, hash brown, or like my husband makes amazing like homemade hash browns, which are more like sort of like potato rusty sort of thing. And he makes them with chorizo in.
Do you know what I want to do?
That would be nice. What?
All three of us. Rank all the items on a fried breakfast, worst to best.
Okay, worst to best. Like, which one do you leave for last because you want to save it?
I'm putting... personally, tomato, bottom of the stuff.
Okay, fine.
Absolute bottom. I know yours is beans.
Yeah, beans. Bottom.
I'm putting tomato bottom, like grilled tomato, because no one ever grills them for long enough.
Yeah,
I stayed in a hotel in Nottingham recently, and I swear to God, they just put out raw tomatoes.
Right.
They hadn't even said hello to a grill. Just raw tomatoes. So they're bottom for me.
Yeah, they're often done badly. You're quite right. It's hard to get right.
Yeah.
But your bottom is the beans.
My bottom is beans, and then I'd put tomato. If I had to remove something from it, I'd remove tomato.
So I think I'd put beans second from bottom, even though I like them.
Okay.
I'm with you, buddy.
Can I just say this is the sort of consensus building that the nation needs?
Yeah. Yeah, we're all doing this very peacefully.
Yeah,
peacefully. Then I'd go black pudding, personally.
Ooh, the peace is about to be disturbed.
Oh.
I mean, I don't hate you for that, but I would not take off black pudding. Black pudding is the thing I save till last because it's my...
Black pudding's near the top for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like to point out that everything from beans onwards I like.
Okay.
But this is just that I'm having a worst to best.
I had a party at my flat once, and you know everyone brings like a bottle of something to a party, or you know they might bring maybe a dip that they've made or something. our friend Joe Williams just brought us a bag of Storn Away black pudding. I brought this to the party. You don't have to eat it now.
I would be chuffed.
Yeah, so happy. We ate it the next morning, hungover. It was perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's
incredible. Yeah.
I think this is fair to say. I cannot emphasize enough, Jess, how much you would get on with Joe Williams. you would really get on with Joe Williams.
Well, tell Joe to call me.
Yeah,
my email is widely available on the internet.
Yeah, it's so my third from bottom's black pudding.
Okay, well, I think I would have to put third from bottom sausage.
Oh. Now, you might be able to hear a truck in the background. That's come to pick me up after I tell you what my third worst is. It's the hash brown.
No. Oh, go to prison.
I just don't need any more. I'm having toast with it, so I don't need any more carbs on that
plate. I do not have toast as my breakfast, though.
So, ay-yi-yi!
And let me tell you, as I'm making current rules, you definitely never have toast on breakfast for dinner.
Right, okay. You're allowed to make those rules.
Yeah, you don't have breakfast for dinner. Toast is very exclusively for the morning.
What are you mopping up the egg with?
The hash brown and the bacon.
No, it's not. There's not enough soakable qualities with the hash brown and the bacon. You need a sponge. You need a spongy material to mop up the egg.
There's not enough egg yolk to need loads of mopping once you've dipped everything in it. Yeah. I think you're not.
Once everyone's had a go.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we're at. Hash browns is my third from bottom.
Okay.
Egg next.
Egg.
Yeah.
Egg has to be number one. It has to be the thing you can't take away, because anything can be a breakfast. It could be any meal if it didn't have an egg on it. The egg makes it a breakfast, I think.
Interesting.
Well, that's a fair argument, but I'm still... It's fourth from bottom for me. It's mid-table.
Tricky. Now it's just all... It's all hits.
It's all the hits.
It's all the hits. Yeah.
I couldn't get rid of egg. Egg and bacon have to remain. Egg and bacon are the solid. They have to be on every breakfast. They're my top two.
I'm going to let you know. I'm going to go straight to my top. Sausage is top.
Sausage is top.
Sausage is top.
Hash brown is my top one. How do you like that shit? Oh. That's why I started this game. Because I wanted to tell you that hash brown is my top one. If you've got breakfast for dinner, what is your side, Jess? Yeah. I can't imagine.
Does my side... I mean, obviously the side would be toast in this instance, but
I've already... But you can't have that on breakfast for dinner.
I've literally ruled that out.
You can't go back on your promises at this stage.
Does my side have to go with the breakfast?
No,
up to you.
The side I would always pick if I was in a restaurant, absolutely always, would be some sort of spinach. Mm-hmm. So in an Indian restaurant, you have saag paneer on the side. Mm-hmm. And in a steakhouse, you'd have cream spinach. I always just want spinach.
So glad you said saag paneer and not saag aloo. I love saag paneer so much. Any way of getting more cheese into a meal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Aloo gobi, if you're going aloo gobi. But not saag aloo. I agree with you. It's wrong. It gets clacky.
It does.
Yeah.
Saag paneer is so good. I love paneer so much.
Absolutely.
The Indian halloumi.
So do you want saag paneer as your side?
I could have saag paneer as my side.
Yeah,
that's
what
I want. You know what? Yeah. That is really what I want. I want saag paneer.
You can have it.
If you want that, you can have that.
Saag paneer on my side. To be honest, it sounds outrageous, but almost certainly we have eaten this as a family. Breakfast for dinner with saag paneer on the side. Because, again, necessity.
Have you ever had curry for breakfast?
Yeah. For shizzle.
Of course.
Yeah. Curry for breakfast is... And in Birmingham...
But would you plan it?
Well, I wouldn't plan it.
Yeah.
But in Birmingham at the moment, there is loads of dosa and curry places that are starting to open to serve breakfast.
Great.
Oh, great.
My husband keeps saying we must go to one of these breakfast curries, but we haven't yet because we don't really live in the same city anymore. Yeah. We very rarely wake up in the same bed. But we will. We will one day.
There's a lot of good food in Birmingham at the moment. I was there recently and there's a lot of good new places. I went to an excellent place called Tiger Bites Pig.
Oh, it's amazing!
So good.
Did you have the weird little yolk thing? There's
like a
fossilised yolk or something. I don't know what it is. But it looks like a boiled sweet, but it's the yolk of an egg.
Oh, nice.
Tiger Bites Pig is my top place to go in Birmingham. It's right next to the railway station.
It is, really near the railway station. I had probably the best bow I've ever had there.
My husband will be so thrilled when he hears this. The duck is the least best of the bows.
Is it?
That's what
I had, and it was amazing. Well, I've got to go and have the other ones, clearly.
It is amazing, but it is the least good one in there. And the rice bowls are amazing.
Yep,
my husband's evangelical about Tiger Bites Pig at the moment, so he'll be pleased to hear this.
It's very good. Also, I know, I'm not going to tell this because Ben will have a go at me for telling a boring story.
Oh, I want to hear it.
I walked all the way there from my hotel and realised I'd left my bank card at the hotel.
And I had so boring.
I had to walk all the way back and get the bank card and then go back. But I basically walked all the way there, made my order, realised I hadn't got my card, walked all the way back to my hotel, then walked back and then got my food ready.
Now, yeah. Attenborough would have been given that for free.
Yeah,
David Attenborough.
But would have just got it.
Would have just got that for free.
Straight there.
He really would've saved that anecdote with a callback at the end there, Jess.
It's all right.
Yeah, thank you, Jess.
That's all right.
Appreciate that. We come to your drink, Jess.
Okay.
You seem pretty calm about this one.
Yeah. I know what I always want to drink when I'm out.
Uh-huh.
If I mean, obviously, if I was at home having breakfast for dinner, I'd probably have a cup of tea. But I would say I would have a margarita as my drink choice always.
Yes.
Just a classic margarita.
A classic, not a frozen one.
I mean, I'll take it frozen. I'm not snobby about it.
Sure.
I can pretend to be like, you know, on spring break in Tijuana and drink frozen drinks.
Yeah.
There's a restaurant that we've gone on about a lot on this podcast called Shack for You. That do they have like a slushy machine that's full of frozen yuzu margarita, and that
is it?
It's Old Compton Street.
Okay,
it's incredible.
I drank that last night, Ed.
Did you?
Yeah.
Were you there last night?
There last night, and I had night before last. I stand corrected.
You're going to have to correct the record in a point of order.
Yeah. I would have to do that.
I am definitely going to go to this place with the frozen margarita. That sounds amazing.
It's brilliant. My girlfriend doesn't drink that much, but every time whatever time of day it is, if we go to Shack for You, she has to have a frozen margarita. Mm. It's amazing. So good. But I love a margarita. Anything, it's the citrus. It is. Heavy lime flavour. Absolutely love it.
Cuts through whatever you're eating.
It's like rocket fuel as well.
I just love salt.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to lick salt.
Some of the best flavours.
All day long. I mean, I frequently, like when I'm going to get something from the cupboard where you have the salt thing, I frequently just eat salt.
There's a Twitter account that tweets quotes from this podcast out of context, and I think that I just want to lick salt all day long is going to go on there.
Excellent. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You eat salt on its own sometimes out of the cupboard?
Yeah. Just like, you know, the big crystally bits, like you just pick one up
and
you have it. And they look so pretty, like snowflakes.
Yeah, and then you have a little go. Oh,
yeah.
Again, you have a knack for making things sound like everyone does them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure people are going around eating salt crystals on their own.
I think my family.
I mean, you like the taste of blood.
Yeah.
And you just eat salt from the cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to worry you're like deficient in like iron and...
I am iron deficient.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's why you like the taste of blood.
Ed is a little detective.
Oh, detective doctor.
Yeah. When you have iron deficiency when you're pregnant,
right,
the thing that you crave, and I did crave this a lot, is... it's not blood. It's not anything that's got any iron in it, weirdly. The body is sometimes not very clever. Is ice, crunching ice.
Oh.
So my husband at the time, because we lived in basically a squat, and we didn't have a usable freezer, he used to go to the local pub with a bag and ask them to fill it up from their ice machine.
Oh, that's such a nice romantic
then
story.
I would just sit and crunch on ice. Also, you want to have really cold water, but you specifically want to suck it from a flannel.
Really?
What?
No, I get that.
Is
anyway.
This your dessert, Jess? A flannel?
I understand that.
Full of cold water. You understand that?
I remember being a kid and being
wanting
like,
to suck
like,
it out of a flannel.
To suck water
it's
out
a really
of a
common. It's a
what?
Commonly reported thing.
What
in pregnant
world
women.
Have I woken up in? Like everyone's talking about this kind of stuff like it's real and normal. Everyone just sucks water off of flannels, do they now?
It's a nice sensation.
It is because it's like. It's I suppose it's a bit like breastfeeding, maybe.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
I've never heard this. Never heard this before.
Because you have to like put the effort in, like it's nice,
and it all comes out. All
but
nice.
It's a really common thing amongst pregnant women, apparently, that they want to suck things out of a flannel. And so I definitely, I was iron deficient when I was pregnant, and I used to just crunch like bags and bags and bags of ice. I got a lot of brain freeze.
Yeah. In Victorian times, pregnant women were known as flannel suckers.
that's not true. I'm being lied
to. If David Attenborough,
I'm calling
it.
BS.
You're calling BS.
Also, before we move on, because you brought up ice, It's been brought to my attention on a previous episode with Dara. I said that I do not like ice in anything. I've since changed my mind since that episode, and I now like it in Bloody Marys.
Okay, U-turn.
So I'd like... I've U-turned on it. Yeah. I'd like that to be included in the podcast, please, Benito, so that people don't think my standpoint on ice is incorrect.
So you like it in a Bloody Mary?
Yes.
But not in anything else? You wouldn't have, like, a cold drink with ice in it?
No.
What about a gin and tonic?
You can't have a gin and tonic without ice in it.
Maybe I would have it in gin and tonic, but, like...
There he goes.
You've been eating ice in everything.
And U-turning all over the place. But, like... Yeah, there's very few. There's less drinks I'd like it in than there is that I would.
I don't understand when people put it in like pints of drinks, like that cider thing where people put ice in. That's weird.
Oh, yeah.
Although the other day I was in, this has happened to me in London, another area where London is terribly deficient. I have now on three separate occasions asked for a lager and lime in a pub in London and been given a pint of lager with a lime in the top of it.
With a fresh lime?
With a quarter of a fresh lime.
Yeah.
One time in Hackney and I said, no, I meant lime cordial. And she was just like, that's not a thing. And I was like,
oh, wow.
That is a thing, Hackney. That is a thing.
Imagine and if you told her about breakfast for dinner.
The other day...
And finally, the best course of them all, the dessert.
I just don't know what to have for
just
a dessert.
Got it in their hands.
Sorry. I find this really, really hard because I don't really like dessert.
I really respect you now, though, if you go for another breakfast.
Yeah. Porridge. Breakfast. Yeah. Bowl of porridge?
Yeah, bowl of porridge. That would be amazing. With or just like bacon and maple syrup with pancakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I don't. I mean, I would always have cheese.
Yes!
Oh, God!
Yes!
Fuck you, Jess! Fuck you! Oh, it's finally happened!
The first person.
Someone's finally done it.
And I'm so on board with it.
Oh, God! Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
That came out of nowhere. There were so many warning signs along the way. Breakfast for dinner, sucking a flannel, so much stuff that should have tipped me off that the cheese was coming round the bend and I didn't see it coming. I'm annoyed at myself that I didn't see this coming. Oh, God.
Is that your official choice?
Yeah,
yes.
Cheese.
Oh, what a
right. Take us through the cheeses you'd like on your cheese board, please, Jess.
Right.
Has no one ever said that before?
No, I'm sorry. James has turned his microphone around.
I can't speak into it.
I mean, you got to have like a blue, a hard cheese, a soft cheese. I'd say a sheep's cheese and a goat's.
Lovely.
It's what I'd go for. And I would always, you know, I really like those crackers that have like sort of cherries in them or...
oh, yeah, nice.
Or like the fruit nuts and that are like really like brittle. And,
yeah.
I love that.
They're really good.
I love those. Yeah, so yeah, I'd really go for that.
James?
Well, thanks for coming in, Jess. Your book is available, Triple Power. Everyone go and buy that. Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
I love that. We don't get to discuss the cheese.
I can't bring myself to do it. I can't believe you've done this to me. Have you been prepped for this?
I've not been prepped for it.
I'm told to go in and
she
get
she said me. At the beginning, she's like starters. She doesn't like desserts.
I did say that at the start.
Yeah, right.
It's like the ultimate
twist. She's been
twist.
Consistent
It's like a well-written film that where I should have seen the twist coming and I didn't see it coming. And like, yeah, that was... You're right at the start. You
Jess
said,
is M. Night Shyamalandia.
Huh?
Jess is M. Night Shyamalandia.
Oh, she has... M. Night Shyamalan, me. I said it better, didn't I?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
M. Night Shyamalan, he wrote Sixth Sense.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah,
I get that now. Yeah.
I see dead people and stuff.
Yeah. I watched The Sixth Sense recently with my eldest son, and I was like just staring at him all the way through for the payoff. Mm. And he just went, oh, yeah. I was like,
we're living in a different time now.
We are.
We're so used to twists. At the time, that was incredible. That was mind blowing.
Incredible.
Yeah, couldn't
believe
it.
But he was just like, I see what they've done there. I was like, sake, kid.
Well, this is a boy who you know has breakfast for dinner.
Yeah,
like he's
used to things being flipped on their head.
Yeah, be like, yeah, pretty cool. My dad's chips for breakfast. Like, so, who cares? Right. Here we go. Got to read your order back to you. Some, Some of this is going to sting. The last one will. Water, sparkling, every time. Poppadoms or bread, poppadoms, every time. Starter, a tower of crab with avocado. Main course, breakfast for dinner. Full English, two sausage, two eggs, 2/3 bacon, black pudding, tin tomatoes, hash browns, brackets, no beans, no toast. Side, sag paneer. Drink, frozen margarita. Dessert. Thanks for coming on, Jess.
Oh, James. James, James, James.
Shut up.
Oh, dear.
Gloating does not befit you, Ed.
It's all backfired, hasn't it, mate? All this time, people coming in talking about puddings, and I sit here and go, well, that sounds nice, each to their own, and then someone says cheese board, and you blew a fucking gasket.
Crowing over there like a rooster.
Unbelievable behaviour in front of an MP, no less.
She's demoted now, my eyes.
What's she demoted to?
PM.
Well, what's exciting is Jess Phillips's book is out this week.
What was it called?
It's called
Cheese for Dessert.
It's called Truth to Power, 7 Ways to Call Time on BS. Mm. Are you going to try and call her on her cheese BS?
I did try. You heard me. I tried my best.
I don't think that's... If you'd read the book, you'd know that screaming at the top of your voice and screaming, fuck you, Jess, is not part of calling time on BS. That's just having a little breakdown. So I'm very proud of Jess. Thank you so much for all your choices. She's my choice. She's my choice for PM.
Yeah,
and then
okay,
finally we can institute no puddings and cheese boards for all.
Oh, Ed, please, it's all too raw now. Do not do that. I know you're just having a laugh, but come on.
Go and get Jess's book. Come and see me on tour. I'm touring from around now, doing the rest of my nationwide tour. It's called Blizzard, finishing it all off with a final performance of the show at the Shepherd's Bush Empire in London on December 20th. Go on to edgamble.co.uk for tickets.
Very
James,
exciting.
What are you up to, mate?
My name is James Acaster, at James Acaster on Twitter. I've got a book out called Perfect Sound Whatever.
Mm-mm.
It's about the music of 2016, how it's the greatest year for music of all time. Every now and again, I slag off Ed in it.
Perfect. The perfect book. Keep listening to this podcast. Subscribe. Do all that. Leave a little review. Hit us up on the socials. Why not? At Off Menu Official on Twitter and Instagram. And offmenupodcast.co.uk on the internet thing.
I really wish Jess Phillips had chosen the whole coffee bean, so I could have actually chucked her out. But
thank
instead...
you very much for listening. I've got to go and calm down a very grumpy little genie. We'll see you next week.
A sulk in my lap.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brands.